What is up, guys? It is episode 520 of the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. Just Kurt here in the studio for the intro. We actually recorded this episode before this past weekend, the Working Class Bowhunter shoot. Big shout out to you if you came out and supported us. Every year we've done this as a public event. This is the third year of it being public. We've battled bad weather, COVID, economy bullshit, high gas prices, you name it. And the core group of people still shows up and hangs out with us and then continues to party with us afterwards at the after party. Massive shout out to Galesburg Archery Club for letting us take over their course for the weekend. Shout out to Jigs's Tavern in Alexis, Illinois for letting us come in and just crash the party and do our working class bow hunter big time wristbands. Massive shout out to Big Time for title sponsoring and hooking people up with food plot seed and all the goodies. Shout out to all the companies that gave us prizes to hand out to our supporters. It's turning into such a beautiful thing. And no matter what happens with the economy or gas or whatever, we're going to keep doing it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of went in just being frustrated from everything of like just nothing's ever perfect when it works out for people to make it and stuff. I'm like, man, if we don't break this many shooters, an X amount of shooters I had in my head, I was like, we're not going to do this anymore. I'm tired of just dealing with bullshit. And you guys came in and blew it out of the water. So we're doing it every year. And I guess like, just being busy, I kind of, in a way, I lost appreciation for how special that event can be just from the camaraderie of hanging out with so many good people. So next year, plan on the same week. Weekend, I guess. We're going to have all that info updated as soon as possible. But it's happening again, and I'm going to work on something to make it a little bigger. So I just want to take a few minutes and just say thanks to everybody who supported us. Also, this episode is with Chris J. Chris actually won the thing we just made up. It was the first year ever. The first annual Solo Cup Working Class Bowhunter shoot down. Pretty awesome. So I'm going to wait to bullshit about the shoot until the guys get here. I just want to get out my thank yous and all that stuff. So Chris was a shooter, man. It was impressive. Everybody there was putting on a show. The podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. Big Time. Man, just two great companies. They're not connected, but I guess through us they are. But both partnered up on the shoot and helped us basically give back to our supporters. So Elite Archery, we gave away an Elite Terrain. I'm shooting the Envision. My shoulder's still healing up, so I'm going to get ready to start cranking a lot of Victory Arrows through that unit. And then Big Time, we are getting ready. I'm a little late, but I'm getting ready to drill in with help of Austin some Big Time Borderline. And if you do not have Borderline yet or want to rush to get it or want to rush to try and get that new seed blend from Big Time called Main Event, for your fall plots, use code WCB2022. Also, Huntworth is running a Father's Day sale. It ends the 19th of June. You can save 20% on there, the code. Just go to our social media for the code. But if you don't use that, we have a code through Huntworth, WCB15, and that'll save you some money. I think you get like 5% more if you use that Father's Day code this week. Get the fuck on it. Here, actually, let me pull it up. That way, you have to do the less work. I'm here for you, you know? Code DAD20 at HuntworthGear.com. There you go. Father's Day promo. Also, Scent Crusher. I had to go back and calculate how long we've been partnered with Scent Crusher. We all know him for, in our opinion, the leader in ozone. We talk about the storage of just the convenience of their bags and closets and stuff like that. As of a couple days of the release of this podcast, Scent Crusher has been acquired by Faradyne. It's all over social media now. I'm surprised I haven't got more questions. I've been sent a lot of stuff about it. But we're still partnered with them, and we'll see how it goes. Sort of a bummer, but, you know, that's just the way things go, especially in this hunting industry. A lot of things are changing. A ton on the back, and you hear about so much going on. It's interesting to see where this industry will end up in 5 years. You know, who knows? But we're a part of it, and we're along for the ride. But proud of Scent Crusher, a great company, and great people, and hopefully continues to knock it out of the park. Loophole Optics, man, we gave away a bunch of Loophole performance eyewear. I'm just going to talk about performance eyewear this on this episode. I do not go anywhere without the performance eyewear. They're awesome. The only pairs of sunglasses that I haven't destroyed because I'm always conscious of where they are because I like them so much. Get on there, check that stuff out. Everyone that I've seen that has a pair or has tried on a pair loves them. I think support Loophole, support a hunting brand rather than wearing like some Ray-Bans and not knowing what they support. That's just my angle on it. Maybe I'm full of shit. I don't know. Also, Camo Fire, delete your browser history. That needs to be their slogan. Just because it's easy to buy shit on there. There's always revolving deals. The deals will go on. Like right now, I'm on camofire.com. The deals expire in 10 hours and they refresh. They have crispy boots on there right now for 20% off. Two different models of crispies. There are stands and sticks. And, I mean, all sorts of goodies. Accessories, bow hangers, phone hangers, all sorts of stuff on there. So there's some Scent Crusher stuff on there now. 45% off Scent Crusher gear bag. There's always different stuff. Ground blinds, all sorts of stuff. So get on camofire.com and check that out. Revolving deals. Kind of a cool thing. We always say delete your browser history so your wife doesn't know where you're spending all your hard-earned money. And as you know, you can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks. Shirts drop tomorrow. Just a little Easter egg there for you. And Novix Tree Stands. Did you listen to the last episode we did? I believe it's 518 Novix Tree Stands. Awesome people. You can see why we work with them. American-made products. Just awesome guys. I think the people matter just as much as the product. Novix Tree Stands code WCB22 is the code there. It's good for 200 uses, then it is shut down. And Thermoseat. Thermoseat for us is like one of those, I guess, American heritage type hunting companies. American made product. They've been around forever. Their product works. I don't think there's any debate on whether it works or not. If you're running and gunning, you need one of the wedges. And it never hurts to have some replacement seats in your pack for when squirrels chew the shit out of your other seats and get a replacement on them. So I'm done rambling. We'll have a veteran shout out on the mid-roll from Doug. Doug's sending a mobile veteran shout out. And thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy this episode.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bowhunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We're here in New Windsor, Illinois. We don't ever say that anymore.
New Windsor or Windsor or whatever it is.
It's New Windsor.
Okay. We're on Google.
Steve always used to, when Steve was like the main idiot, instead of us, he would always like say where we were at, which is kind of a fun quirk. That's like the one thing he did right. We are in New Windsor, Illinois. Right. Google says so now.
It's a late one tonight, but we're here.
It's a late one. We've been working on the studio. Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
And we have special in-studio guests / podcast maintenance guy officially. Chris J. What's up, man?
Not much. Glad to be here.
We meant to do this podcast months ago.
Yeah. Damn COVID.
Yeah. And we had to reschedule.
Yep.
He caught the 1-9, huh?
I blame it on my kids, I guess, but it was me. It was me. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like
December.
Around ATA time, right?
It was December. It was around Christmas time, I think.
Yeah.
We had COVID over Christmas. So that was real fun.
Mm-hmm. But, I bet. Yep. Well, here we are now.
At least you have to go see your in-laws.
No comment.
They're probably listening.
Yeah.
But no, man, you showed up and we're kind of like at the time of recording, we're kind of getting ready for the shoot and some changes in the studio. And we appreciate your help. You kind of just jumped right in and started helping us. We're doing a new surround sound speaker system and rearranging deer heads and kind of like we're making it ours a little more from when we bought the place just over a year ago. So it's we've been here a year. Now we know what we want change, and that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and the surround sound's like kind of the last piece of the puzzle, I think.
It honestly is. It's the one thing that we haven't changed.
Right.
And all it took was a drunken night. Me and Eric were staring at the little TV and the DVD setup, and we're like, we should upgrade this. It kind of sucks. It looks like shit.
So I made a phone call, and my buddy of mine hooked me up with some...
He knows the shit in there. He's out there setting it up like as we're recording.
Yeah, right now.
That's pretty cool of him.
So we got all the wires ran before the podcast, and he's setting everything up right now.
Shout out to Cody. What's his last name?
Ashby.
Shout out to Cody Ashby. Yeah. You're the man. He can probably hear us.
He probably can.
Yeah.
Good for him. He knows the shit, apparently. He's just like, you guys go do your thing.
He's a nerd when it comes to audio equipment.
You got
to
have him.
Yep.
Got to have that guy. But man, what's going on, dude?
Not a lot.
Who the hell are you? Give us an introduction.
Chris J. I'm from around Springfield, Illinois. Deer hunter. I very, very novice trapper. Got twin 5-year-olds at home, boy and a girl. And so life is getting busier and busier with them. But
yeah,
that's about it.
Simple man.
Simple.
But you got an internet side project that you do for fun.
Yeah,
right?
Me and some buddies, on a drunken night, we all when we were in college, the hangover came out, and jokingly we called ourselves a wolf pack.
Yeah.
And so one drunken night as well, we got to start. Everybody else in the world has a group. What's our group? Oh, my buddy's like, oh, like wolf pack hunting. And I was like, well, you know, how about like wolf pack outdoors covers everything. Like, one of my buddies likes to fish a lot. The rest of us are big hunters. My one buddy's a big farmer and everything. I said, it kind of covers everything. And I'm obsessive about stuff like that. So I took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Got with buddy Jordan Johnson. He made us our logo and everything.
Yeah.
And just killed
Combination
that.
Creator.
Yeah. Yep. Just killed that. That was awesome. And basically just use it as a way to kind of put out all of our adventures, everything we do. I grew up shooting archery competitions and stuff from being a little kid, me and my buddy Ryan both. And we don't have any pictures or any really anything as we were growing up doing all that, just, you know, kind of some vague memories.
Yeah.
And so my goal was to kind of just capture all that stuff as, you know, my kids grow up and me and my friends too, and being able to share that with a lot of people that, you know, don't see that sort of thing, don't know that there's things out there that, you know, just right down the road. I live right down the road from a 3D range that nobody even would know it was even there.
Yeah.
And it's one of the nicest ones, one of the oldest ones in the state of Illinois. But nobody would even know it was even there.
Just because they're not into it or they don't really advertise.
If you don't drive down that road, you wouldn't know it was there. You'll see a sign once a month when they have shoots and stuff like that. But it's really nice. And, I mean, I'm blessed to have it. I go down there and use the crap out of it. But
so that's cool, man. That is something that, 3D courses really lack in as, their marketing game. And they're not marketing people usually that run them.
Yeah.
But it's just man, they could do a better job at getting out there. I guess that's where we help, our local club where we have our shoot and stuff. But
yeah, the local one for us, when they do an event, they just put signs out, you know, where to turn and everything, but you don't see anything.
Dude, and you get on a 3D courses website, they're the
garbage.
Fucking worst.
Yeah.
You're
fucking garbage.
It's MySpace, yeah.
It's MySpace.
Yeah. Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
It's Zanga.
I feel like there's less 3D shoots than what there used to be, too. When I got into it around 98, 99... I'd go shoot 3 or 4 shoots in a weekend. It always seemed like there was a shoot going on, and now it's once a month maybe.
And I think part of that is the blame is people, kids are changing, people are busier, adults are, and then if you're not constantly in people's ear, hey, 3D shoot, we're doing this, we're giving away prizes, we're having a hog roast, you're not constantly trying to put yourself out there, it's easy to forget about, because it's not sanctioned like school baseball is, or school basketball, or soccer, or, you know, maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's my perspective.
I think you're 100% right, because I said, our local one, they just put signs out, hey, turn here for a 3D shoot.
And have people what the fuck's a 3D shoot? I need glasses for that? What are we doing?
Right. And then, you know, that's the only reason I know they're going on when I drive by there, and I don't drive by there every day.
Yeah.
And so, they all take, so there's so much maintenance that goes into them. You've got to have three or four people that are just super dedicated.
You do.
To go through, because the one that I shoot at a lot, and I'm just as much fault as a lot of people. Like, I'm not able to spend a lot of time with the kids and work and everything else. A lot of time out there doing a lot of things. But, I mean, you got to think, they mow a huge area just to keep the grass down.
A lot of work, yeah.
There has to be two or three people there during every single shoot. And everybody, you know, you're in the middle of summer. If anybody has kids or anything, they have sports, they want to go on vacation. You really have to have a big membership to even just be able to cover all that stuff.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. And the odds are against it. I mean, not a ton of kids are into it. It's more adults, and it's, and this might sound bad, man, and I'm not trying to make this sound bad, but I remember growing up, like when now as an adult, I wish I would have done Boy Scouts.
Right.
But the way Boy Scouts was presented to me, I remember it vividly. When Boy Scouts was presented to us at our school, every school is different. I was like, fucking nerds, I'm not doing Boy Scouts. Like, it's not how they...
Fucking nerds.
Well, it's just like, it's not the... They just make it out to seem so nerdy. Like, it's not appealing to the kid who's...
I think I did a 1 year.
Wants to ride his bike and do other stuff and, like, go do... You know what I mean?
You got to sell it to the kids.
You got to sell it to the kids. And I remember looking at it being like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. But now... Knowing what I could have learned from it and things I would be like, oh, that'd be cool to do. I wish I would have done that. But also, if the school doesn't pitch it, or like just if there's archery in elementary school, if you got a bunch of nerdy ass dudes in there that's like, shoot archery, look at my rat tail. Here we go. Every kid in there is like, I don't want a fucking rat tail. I'm not sure. Because that's when I did archery in high school. You know who the guys who taught archery when we went to the archery range? Dudes with rat tails.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not kidding. And I'm like, and I was into hunting, luckily, and I'm like, not everybody's like that. Like, it's not a trailer trash thing, but the way it was pitched to other kids, they're like, what the fuck? Well, where'd you crawl out of? Green Rock?
Right.
You know, is a small town in the Quad Cities, if you know where Green Rock is.
I don't know where that is.
Kelowna.
Okay. The thing is, too, though, like, a lot of high
home
school...
Home of the Juggalo, Doug.
They've seen some shit there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's too much for me.
Sorry, I went on a rant, Chris, on
you're
that.
Good. You're good. No, but a lot of high schools are getting actual archery teams now, which is super awesome.
Yep. That's what they should have done when they didn't have that when I was in high school.
No, they didn't have, like, a couple years after I graduated, they started archery and
bass fishing and everything else.
Like, they have clubs for everything.
Bass fishing started like 2 years after I graduated.
Well, they need it today more than ever. I mean,
they
with technology and devices and everything else, like, they need more outdoor based group activities in school.
But here's the thing, it boils down to, we're all talking about this right now. You know who could change it?
Us.
All of us.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
100%.
You know what I mean? So, but it's kind of, we're kind of talking through a problem that maybe we're our own resolution to the problem.
Right.
So this is we sound hypocritical, but maybe this is healthy.
I message our trap shooting coach all the time, like, hey, if you need help with anything, or they have a big, like, banquet every year to raise money for it. Like, if you guys need donations or anything, let me know.
Yeah.
And he never reaches out, so I'm like, okay, whatever. But
I guess if someone's like, hey, man, you want to come just, like, show some high school kids how to, like, hey, we need a dude with hand tattoos to show some kids in high school, like, how to anchor, cool. like, a Matthews Genesis.
This is what you could look like one day.
Might as well be a rat tail.
Yeah.
Damn. That's true.
That would be a good one.
Fuck yeah. Touche. Hey. Touche.
Whatever we had, whatever, there used to be an archery range in.
It's amazing. You're right.
That was really good. Hey,
I eat my own foot on that one.
You ate your own ass on that one.
Hey, but hey, listen. Kids are in. I'm not. Okay, never mind.
Don't go ahead.
This guy from Green Rock? What the hell?
That's what they're all saying. But the thing is, it's like, you ever seen that dude on TikTok? He always does, like, that Southern dad does this.
Yeah.
That's the dude that taught archery at our high school.
All right.
That guy's hilarious.
See that?
Yeah, now. Not in 05 or whatever the fuck. I was a freshman. But you get what I'm saying, though. Like,
it wasn't appealing at all.
There just needs to be, like, a variety of influence there rather than, like, the what there is.
Yeah. We didn't even have archery. Like,
you didn't at all? Did you, Chris?
We didn't have archery. I was lucky, like I said, my dad, I was pushed, and not really pushed, but I went to both with my dad every single week and shot. He was shooting in league, so I picked up a bow because I was already going with him anyway. And so I shot from the time. I mean, I still have my first bow at home, and I probably shot from the time I was 4 or 5. I was shooting at 5 yards, I can remember, and I'd moved back to 10. Then I was finally able to shoot at 20 with everybody else, and we'd shoot indoor leagues and everything. And we had some success as I got older and older, and then, you know, sports and everything else got into it, and you know, we all backed off of it, and for other reasons and stuff too. But it's one of those things. I really enjoyed that, and it was a you know, formative part of my life, and right. You know, gave me the passion that I have towards some of that stuff now. And so seeing that, and I've helped out with, we used to have an archery range in Springfield, and I loved helping out with the classes and stuff they bring in. They'd have parties that kids would come in. There's nothing better than having a kid that's never even pulled a bow back, and you put a balloon at 10 yards and they just fling arrows at it and they pop it. Their eyes light up like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
how many
fun.
Kids that would come in. That's what hooks those kids, is they have that experience and right. You know, that positivity that comes out of it. And hopefully, I'm a normal looking guy. I'm not, you know, walking around. At least I don't have hand tats or anything. But
right, good point.
But like,
thanks, Austin.
Yeah, you see something like that, and it's like, okay, well, I can do this. And then But those archery shops that are closing left and right,
they are
the last places even for the kids to even go and do that sort of thing.
For sure. So, I do remember like the one cool day we went to an archery shop, and they had like the, what'd they have? They had a clay pigeon in the center of like a sheet metal deal. So you pop it and then you get like, you'd win a prize. But I think they had balloons and they had a swinging tennis ball.
This was high school?
High school, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
I also had billiards in high school. Like, we had a lot in high school.
Billiards.
We did, for real. Like, and then we had competitive drinking was a class you could take.
I took that one.
Yeah, sure. And then we actually did have billiards, though, which is kind of cool.
We didn't have that.
But so that was, like, the one cool part of archery class. But other than that, it just wasn't – if I wasn't already into it, it was not appealing.
Right.
Our extent of archery in school was like junior high, and we had the old fiberglass longbows, you know?
Yeah.
And
you did like
3 days of it, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, made better than nothing. But they have like NASP, like National Archery in School programs, and I don't know where they do. They didn't do NASP at my high school.
Right.
But I'm sure they have like, I don't know what their mapping range is to do that stuff. But I don't know. I mean, do you guys really think on a scale of 1 to 10 roundtable, how big of a difference – in your perspective, and there's probably a real statistic out there, does a archery class in high school have an effect on whether or not they pursue archery or not? Start with you, Eric.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Ooh, 4.
I was going to say 4 or 5, yeah.
But the thing is, too, like, if you introduce it to someone in school, or even at a younger age, they could go on with life and be like, hey, I remember I took archery.
Yeah, true.
That's a good point. And I really enjoyed it. I would like to go back on that and maybe pursue it a little bit.
I feel
better.
Like I'm coming off really negative about it. I'm not trying to be.
Right.
No, you're not at all. I mean, I just don't think a lot of people are into archery like we are.
Yeah, I'm feeling guilty as I talk about it.
I'm going to say like a 2.
Well, I'm not an asshole like that.
Wow.
I think by the time you're in high school, there's going to be less of a chance that you grasp onto it.
True.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you don't grow up with it. Yeah. And I've introduced a handful of guys into it, and they, you know, you kind of take to it the level that you kind of want to get out of it. So
that's,
you know,
true.
Some guys, some people, they just want to be able to pick up, like my wife, she shot whenever her and I got together, just cause it was something for her and I to do. And she got pretty good. But she got to levels, you know, I'm like, well, you can do this, you can do that. Well, you try to tell her to do anything coming from me, it's not going to work well.
Yeah,
but right. I mean, it's one of those things, you get out of what you want to put into it.
For sure. So,
just like the cat.
Yep.
No, well, that's the thing, Doug, too. Like, I didn't grow up doing it. And then Doug and his brother got me into it, and I fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's how you're introduced, I think, is a big factor.
For sure.
I think you're introduced to, like, I don't know, parents or family or a good friend. It's much easier to. No, hang on to it.
Okay, so, but we, maybe I'm wrong, did you get introduced to archery because of hunting or because of archery?
Because of archery.
You did. I got introduced to archery, I wanted to get a bow because I wanted to hunt more when I started gun hunting. That's how I got into archery. And I don't know if everyone's on the same page besides Chris.
It just depends.
When I got introduced to archery, I didn't even know there was a competition side.
Yeah, that came like, the details of that came later.
Right.
Just from natural interest.
I just knew the hunting with a bow is all I knew.
Mm-hmm. I did it for hunting.
How about you, Austin?
We went to a deer classic. It was way back in the day, and I got my first bow there. And I think when I got it, I had the intentions of hunting with it, but I didn't know anything about it. And then as I was kind of practicing in the yard and getting good with it, then we found out about 3D shooting. So I actually got into the 3D realm before hunting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if stoners knew that 3D archery was just frisbee golf with a bow, it would change the archery industry. You'd have to sell like a new Elite with a hacky sack. But
it comes with a hacky sack.
Yeah. Or like get a free disc when you get your Elite.
Or your bow has a hacky sack mount on it so you can keep it with you at all times.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Or like it comes with a one hitter.
Oh. The little sloppery one hitter.
But you know what I mean though? I mean, because that's, it's the same concept.
Oh, it is for sure.
3D archery is fun. And every time I do it, I'm like, this is golf or disc golf with a bow.
Basically. Yeah, that's for sure. 100%.
Yeah, that's what it is, you know? Yep. It's like
never thought of that, but now I will every single time, 100%.
Sorry. Sorry. You'll think of old Brett with dreads out there just whipping a disc every time you 3D shoot.
Well, I mean, the first time I shot 3D was with you guys when we went out to Long Grove out by me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the very first time I ever did it.
It's a blast. It is a good time. I wish...
Because we used to go all the time.
We used to go every weekend.
Yeah.
That's before we had kids and the podcast was like more of a business. But we used to 3D shoot for like a little WWE plastic belt. Kids belt. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Which was funny.
It's still around somewhere. I think I got it in my garage.
Mm-hmm. We should do that again. But I don't know. That's all fun.
Yeah.
3D archery is a good time. It's a good way to get people involved in it. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you shot your first deer with a bow?
Ooh. So I grew, growing up shooting everything, I got really good whenever I was like 10 and 11, something like that. They used to have indoor state championships. And me and my dad, one year, we both won an indoor state championship.
That's cool.
There's like 3 people that showed up in my class, but we're not going to talk about that.
Hey, you beat them.
Still
beat them.
Yeah.
Number one out of 3.
Yeah.
Suck it.
But
you could have got third.
But then I got target panic real bad. And so going into high school and everything, I had target panic so bad, like I couldn't shoot. And it was one of those things I expected to be able to shoot, and I just wouldn't change anything. And my dad finally, here, you're going to go do this, and you need to start shooting again. So I think my first year with my bow probably wasn't until I was a senior or even maybe a freshman in college. When I finally got back into archery hunting again, I played basketball a lot whenever I was in high school and everything. That's all I really cared about. And I shotgun hunted from the time I was, I don't know, 7th and 8th grade all the way up through, and had a little success doing that. But then I finally got through the target panic and everything. I probably shot 4 or 5 deer with target panic really bad, and just, you know, would pull down on one and shoot. And the very first deer I ever shot was a yearling doe, and I missed her at 20 yards over the top of her back, and she ran 20 yards and then turned around and came right back again, the exact same spot. And then I shot her, got her that time.
Really?
The very first deer I ever shot.
All right, Chris, since you have suffered from target panic, if someone has never experienced target panic, can you do your best to explain what target panic is?
It's trying, and I think everybody has it a little bit different, but that my experience was that I would try to hold dead center on the target, and if I could not hold dead center, I would shake and shake, and I would finally get to the point mentally where I just feel like I need to punch that release. And then I got to the point where it got so bad where I couldn't even get down on the target. And I would hold like 6 inches above the target. And I got my dad, he's like, well, just adjust your sight 6 inches. And I deer hunted 1 year, and I adjusted my sights so that 20 yards, I would hold 6 inches high and be dead on at 20 yards.
Wow.
Because I could shoot fine for about 4 or 5 shots and I would lose it. And then it got,
wow.
And then it got,
I was the same way.
Yeah.
Really?
When I'm acquiring my target, I drop into it. So you drop your pin down into it, and I would always release before I would get down into the target.
Yeah.
Oh, really? See, I feel like I've suffered like minuscule amount of target panic. I've never had it to where it's like crippling, because I know some people have to do like blind bale shooting.
My dad went through it. My dad, and again, that's the reason why I started shooting. My dad, he shot competition archery like from the time he got out of high school. He started getting into it, and he ended up getting target panic really, really bad whenever he was, I don't know, it was before he had me, obviously, but he was shooting a wrist strap release. Well, then that was when they started coming out with the thumb buttons and stuff like that, or even a back tension, early back tension release, or even time triggers. And he had a guy tell him that this is what you have to go to. And he's like, he got pretty good, but he's like, it's going to get bad enough. You're not going to be able to shoot. At that point, you're going to have to come to me. And he finally did. And he got him shooting a different release and everything. And it got to be, my dad would go to an indoor shoot and he, 300 with 57, 58 X's. I mean, like one or two arrows away from a perfect score.
No kidding.
Just about every weekend. And, so whenever I got into it, it was the same thing. I was shooting a wrist strap and dad's like, you have to get rid of that thing. You have to. So I went to a thumb button release and I blank bailed. I blank bailed for a month straight every single day.
Can you break down what blank bailing is for people?
So I put a target up on a rack in my garage, and I would stand 5 or 10 foot away from it and draw back, get on the target and just close my eyes and just concentrate on squeezing that release until it went off. Mm-hmm. And I did that for, like I said, probably a month straight.
You're retraining your brain. At yep.
A month yep. straight of shooting how often?
Every night.
Every night.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'd go shoot
like probably 10 arrows, something like that, every single night, just concentrating on making 10 good shots. Squeezing the trigger and everything. And then it got to the point that this was right before deer season one year is whenever I did it and just tried. I'm like, okay, I'm going to break this. And it got to the point where I'm like, okay, now I've got it. And I shot for about a year and a half, and then that thumb button started to do the exact same thing. I started to anticipate it. I went to an archery shoot.
Is it because you figured out like the timing of it?
Yep. And as soon as I would start to put my thumb on it, and I would just start punching it real bad. And it got to the point I started anticipating that, and I would flinch. Mm. And I got to where I was shooting really, really well. I went to a 3D shoot, and we were on like the second or third target, and it was 15 yards. And I drew back and I get on it and I sent it about 3 foot over the top of the target.
No kidding.
I flinched so bad.
Jeez.
And I'm just pissed.
So
just lost it.
Do you still struggle with that today?
So I switched to a back tension release after that.
I feel like we're talking to an addict, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But, no, seriously.
But this could happen to any of us, like target pain.
100%. 100%. And so I switched to a back tension release after that. And I've shot a back tension for probably the last 4 or 5 years. And that's what I hunt with and everything. And even that, I can still every once in a while, like I haven't shot a whole lot. I'll just feel myself. I'll start to anticipate, start to punch that thing, and I'll just move up to the bail, and just okay, hey, for the next 4 or 5 nights, every night going to come down here and just retrain myself, get more comfortable with it, so that way you don't have to think about it.
So, are you shooting a back tension with a click or no click?
It's got a click in it.
Yeah. Yep. Do you feel like you anticipate the click?
I've got myself set up now. Whenever I come in, when I'm shooting enough, I come in, and whenever I get to full draw and anchor, it clicks.
Okay. So I got gotcha. So it's light.
It's fairly light, but I've got myself trained. If it doesn't click whenever I come up, a lot of times I'll just let down because there's something wrong. There's something I didn't go through my process right or something like that.
And see, I shoot a back tension, but I shoot a long. I feel like I shoot a long pull because of hunting. Because what I do is I'll pull to my click. Mm-hmm. Like if I get full draw and there's a deer, I'll get to my click and then I know it's game time.
Yep.
So I use it as my anchor, get ready. All right, now you're in the shit. And maybe that's wrong. I don't know. So,
yep.
Grab a chair. Somebody just walked in.
Look at your head on this guy.
Sit on down. And we'll get your mic pulled up.
To get wild.
Clint Casper just walked the fuck in. Not very often that Clint Casper walks in. That.
Yep. Sorry, Clint. It's
fine. No, but I kind of had the same thing with a thumb release. Yep. And then
get that mic up there, Clint.
I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it might have been T-Bone, actually. Yeah, but
hold up closer.
instead of hitting it with your thumb... He said, connect your fingers.
Put your finger on it and then pull it back.
And then pull like a back tension with your fingers, you know.
And a lot of guys can shoot. I've never been able to figure one out to be able to shoot one consistently like that.
Right.
I know a lot of the guys that can. And every once in a while I'll be able to do that, but I just.
But see, it took me forever to figure out going from a thumb to squeezing it, you know, because shooting like a back tension.
Yep.
But after I figured it out, it helped me tremendously. Oh,
yeah. Most people just put their thumb on it and dump the thumb button on it, and I'm like, yo, wait.
Yeah.
That's where
I learned that he's like, touch your fingers together and let that drum sit on your thumb and then squeeze with these fingers. Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes, is that why you see sometimes people have that drum taped up real thick so it fits their
hand? They'll have a huge one. They'll have a huge one made, or they'll put tape on it.
Clint Casper just joined the podcast. You can talk into the mic, buddy. You know how to do that?
I don't. I've never really podcasted a whole lot, but we'll see. I don't know. Did you just talk into this thing? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Because, Clint, you shot a lot of target archery.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still shooting a target. I mean, what you would call a target release.
You shoot a target in your yard?
That, too.
Do you shoot a thumb button or a back tension?
Back tension.
You know what? With the click or no click?
I've had click the last 3 years. I used to be against the click. It kind of made me like.
Are a lot of target guys against the click? Because
I think it's a preference thing. Yeah, I know a lot of guys that shoot target and everything, and they don't shoot a click, mm-hmm. but they're also those guys that shoot 100 arrows a day or whatever, they're so set in their ways that I mean they don't have to worry about that click because I mean they're just dead.
It's probably more common for hunters to shoot with a click, right? Just because of like
most don't most hate the click.
Hunters
causes target panic. In a lot of people.
Yeah, that's weren't in it. We just got done talking about target.
For me, I like the click because that puts me in the zone.
You're ready. Yep. That's what I just said.
I've got mine set up to where when I hear the click, now at that point, I'm like, fucking, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, do you hunt with a back tension?
That's all I've used for the last 10 years. Now, I used to use a thumb, but I shot my thumb really weird. Like, I flipped the top over to where, like, a standard thumb, you've got it down here. Mine was up in... basically like up in my index to where when I'm pulling through, I was shooting it. I was a thumb. Only reason why I did it that way is because my straight back tension release, it's a half moon. I can't clip it on. That's the only downfall.
Yeah.
So I set my thumb up to where I'm shooting it like a back tension. Like realistically, my thumb wasn't triggering shit.
Right.
Because a lot of people start doing this shit of punching. Yeah. And that's
what I was just saying too, where I roll around.
It's a glorified trigger that you're beating the hell out of. Right now, you know,
I gotta adjust this. Keep talking. I gotta adjust this camera so you're so, right if I use it.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as shooting with back tension, like it's been.
I feel like I can make a long time.
I'm
so much more consistent when I do that. It's not even. I mean, it's not even comparable. And
what calms me down, like with a trigger, it'd be a panic attack constant because I know in my mind I can punch the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I've gotten to the point with the click too. It's just like, if I come to that click, it's like, okay, now concentrate, push, pull.
Yeah.
This is what you got to do.
It's a process. Yeah, like in my mind, I break it down into like 12 steps.
100%.
And every step I accomplish, I'm on to the next one. So instead of me being like, oh, fuck, that's a 180, man. I can't wait to tell Doug. Can't wait to show Kurt. Like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, anchor, nose,
cheek. Yeah, he doesn't call me.
Start pushing and pulling. Shut up, Eric. And then, you know.
And that was one of the biggest things, too. Whenever I started shooting, I had buck fever terrible whenever I was a kid, too.
Yeah,
me
too.
And so archery hunting, whenever, on top of the target panic, I get buck fever and just lost it.
You're doubling down on anxiety for a shot right there.
Whenever I get that back tension on there, it's like, okay, you gotta follow your process. You gotta do all this. And the biggest buck I've shot so far with my bow, I come to full draw and start to push pull, and then it clicked, and I did flinch.
Oh yeah,
real bad.
Yeah,
I was like, and he looked right up at me, and I was like, okay, go, and just pushed through and everything. But it's one of those things. It's part of the process and everything. And you know, okay, I've got to this point. All right, now it's go time.
Yeah. Well, and guys don't practice. The most important shot in archery, we never practice it.
Oh, yeah.
Letting down.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Like, most people think, 100%. I come back, like, I always talk about, I bend the limbs back, shit's dying in my mind. But at the same time, if it doesn't feel right, I'll let down.
Yep.
I mean, my biggest buck to date, extra 191, 22 yards, I let down. Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I'm like, wow, you're going to fuck this up.
Yep.
And most people would have been like, whoa, this is it. I got to make it happen. I'm like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Most people are focused on releasing that. Yeah. They have to release it now.
Right now.
Yeah. I mean, and
that was one of the hardest things to learn as a kid too, whenever you're shooting. Cause I'd watch my dad draw back and let down two or three times and everybody would just kind of look at him and then he'd draw back and let down two or three times.
Yep.
And then the next shot dead center.
Perfect.
Then it was perfect. Everything's working.
Yeah, everyone's looking at you like, this motherfucker's going through some shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's nuts.
He's like Doug over here.
Yeah. It's like, Doug, he's seen some shit.
when I started shooting like semi-pro indoors, like 3D and five spot and all that, going into college, realized I'm like, fuck, I'm like, you know, I can do something with this. Like, this will be fun, you know? So went and got a coach, Jim Hadley, and he had trained, you know, a bunch of Olympic archers and shit, you know? And the first month, he's like, you're not going to like what we're going to do, you know? And I'm like, well, I mean, I love to shoot my bow. He's like, that's the problem. Like, we're not going to shoot an arrow. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
The fuck do you mean you're not going to shoot an arrow? The first month, I drew back, held, and let down. Didn't fire an arrow.
For a month?
Didn't fire an arrow.
That's a gangster.
Yep. Probably.
That is.
That's right.
I forget. It was like 13,000, 1,300, you know. But to this day, I shoot a ton of blank bail, and I mean, I will force myself. If I go shoot five arrows.
You'll still shoot blank bail for no reason?
Just, I shoot blank bail.
Well, I don't want to say it's for no reason, but not because you're going through target panic.
Constant. I'll blank bail. I'll pull my sight off randomly and shoot 30 arrows of just from me to you with my eyes open, eyes closed. Like, I don't want nothing in front of me. I'm just
feeling the process.
Nothing to focus on.
Every year when I get my new bow.
Feeling the flow.
The first 500 to 600 shots, blank bail. Every single setup, because every bow is a little bit different, and I get a new, you know, they're sending me a new bow every year. Everyone's like, oh, just slap your shit on and go. It's all different. Like, yeah, I have to, like, get in tune with what I got. And
mentally.
That's like, my way of doing it, and that's what I do.
You got to feel her body.
Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe the left boob's a little bigger than the right boob. I need to know. Maybe this one, the right boob's a little bigger than the left. You know, I gotta know what's going on.
It's like all in the hips.
It is. It's a test drive.
And that all goes down to being successful at the end, because when shit hits the fan and you draw back and everybody says it, it's like, I don't even remember what happened.
Autopilot.
I just drew back. I don't know.
That's a common thing.
That's that autopilot.
Yeah, autopilot.
Because you've done it so many times that you can just draw back.
Well, there's two, I don't remember what happened. Did I even look through the peep thing?
I blacked out.
And it's either because you blacked out and you didn't know what happened, or it's because it was like second nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just ran through the motions of what you've always done.
Yep.
So have you ever struggled, like, I know, like, target panic, but, like, I know you said a little bit of buck fever, but, like, does buck fever affect you in a major way, do you think?
I've been lucky, and I've killed some good deer over the last few years and everything. And there's been a couple deer that have rattled me really, really good over the last couple of years. And I don't know that I could have held it together, but I mean, I feel like if you don't have that, you shouldn't be out there anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, very true. Yeah.
If I didn't see, like, I hunted a buck for a couple of years and he finally got killed, and I only saw him two times. Both times I saw him, I was shaking so bad. I don't even know if I got to drill my bow back anyway.
Right.
Because I had myself so amped up on how everything was happening and him getting ready to come in. I was hoping and everything like that, that, like, man, I don't even know if I could have made it happen.
Yeah.
But.
All right. So let's talk about this. Do you want to watch a buck come in from, like, a long distance where you see him, you glass him, come in. Okay, here he is. He's coming my way. All right, get ready. Or do you want a buck to surprise you? Oh, 20 yards. Here's the deer. Grab your bow. Make your decision. What do you prefer?
I still like the surprise of it.
You do like the surprise.
Yeah.
Even with some of the target panic and some buck fever.
Because you don't have time to think about it. Again, you're on autopilot. Okay. Hey, now it's got to happen. This is what you got to do.
Tell a lot of small deer get shot. I'm guilty.
Yep. Here's your spot. And I'm the same way too. Like, okay. Hey, yeah, I'm pumped up and everything. And I mean, the first deer I shot last year, that's exactly what happened. He's here. He's 15, 20 yards in front of me. All right, this is go time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's one of those things.
I'm the same way.
You like them tight.
I like the surprise. Surprise me.
Not me.
I'm situational. I couldn't really stick to one side of it. I'd rather watch them, I think, come at me.
I like that 10 seconds, that build up, or even, like, let's say it's 2 minutes. Like, I'm watching
I want to pick my shot.
I don't know. Like, I live for that moment before the shot even takes place. Like, that's my whole.
Yeah.
For me, it's more about the encounter. If I get to see him for 10 minutes, like, that's 10 minutes versus 30 seconds. I live for that encounter more.
It's 10 minutes.
And I like to talk to myself. Like, I like to, like, be in my own.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
talking through it and everything.
You're up to this, you little bitch.
Well, yeah.
Come on. You think you can do it again?
Well, he's, like, you know, a buck's coming or, like, I think back to Utah, like, that bull I killed a couple years ago. And I mean, he's at 46. I'm at full draw. Cow breaks off in a calf, and I got to let down. Now I'm at 76. I got to, like, reap.
That's stressful.
So I got in my mind, though, I'm like, okay, you want to play games, motherfucker? Here we go. Yeah. I'm like, all right, dial down 76. I'm like, okay. To me, that's one of my favorite, probably the most favorite shot I've ever made, and it should have been a way easier shot.
Yeah.
You know, but I got
by the way, everybody rips by the studio on Harleys and trucks and shit because they know we're in here fucking recording. I swear.
It's other podcasts.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, the one at the depot.
Yeah.
Give her the beans.
Son of a bitch.
Let her eat.
But I'm such a way, I kind of like watching them come in because, like, you are right, Austin. It's like 10 minutes of a moment you always think about that you get a little more of.
Yeah.
I'm more calm that way. Like, I get anxious when a buck appears and I'm like, good, okay. Like, I like
good.
The buck.
You're caught off guard.
Good. Yeah, I'm like, good. You know, like, I like to see him coming. Because I'm always talking to myself, though. Like, if you were in my head 10 minutes prior to me killing something, you'd be like,
that's because you're mental.
I would never want to be
in my head. Oh, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, this fucking dude.
But it's because you're mentally thought, like, we've talked about this before in the past. It's like, when you're sitting there, you don't just like sit there blankly and then be like, oh shit, deer.
Right.
When you sit there, you mentally practice. Like, if a deer comes from this way, I'm going to do this. If a deer comes from here, if a deer pops up underneath me, I'm going to do this. Like, I think that makes a difference, you know?
Not Doug, though. He's just watching birds.
Yeah.
Trying to read hook on Phoenix.
It's easy to kill a big deer. You don't see him coming.
We got to get his present on videos right there.
You want to go get it?
Yeah, well.
Chris brought Doug a present.
Oh.
He brought us all great presents, by the way.
By the way,
Great gift giver. If you'd like to find a gift for one of your friends, call Chris.
Just hit me up.
Dude, great.
Flight fee.
You're very... We'll talk about all the gifts.
You can run a business with that.
I mean...
Like, you ask 10 questions, they answer them,
and
like, here's your gift.
I think there's probably surely there's a website.
Gift consulting?
Yeah, there you go.
Gift consulting.
Yep.
Dude, I like it. We got to run through the gifts, because they're good. And thank you again, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very well thought out.
I love mine very much.
Doug's actually going to use his. Like, I'm going to use mine, but Doug's really going to use it.
Yeah.
One part of his gift, anyway.
Right. We hope so.
Eric's out there just fucking around like we got all day. Hey, guys, interrupting again. The podcast is brought to you by Old Barn Taxidermy. Man, if you need a deer head done this year, or you are sitting on a couple that you haven't got them mounted yet, get them to Old Barn. Now would be a good time to do it, as they're caught up on whitetails and you'd be first in line, technically, before their run of all the Western stuff gets into. They're located in Fort Madison, Iowa, but they have drop-off locations throughout the country. So look them up. You will not be disappointed. They do all of our taxidermy work, and that's one of the number one things we get when people come into the studio, is how nice the taxidermy looks. Also, if you kill a spring bear, they are the bear taxidermy specialist. Sam Gaylord is an expert. So hit them up, Old Barn Taxidermy. Tell them we sent you. Also, trophy line. Our opinion, we're not real experienced in the saddle hunting game, but we've done it enough that we know. We've been around good tree stands, and they're great people. They're running a Father's Day sale right now, June 14th through the 19th, so it's actively going on. Get there, trophyline.com. Free shipping on orders over $100, and free Ropeman with any saddle kit purchase. If you've never used a Ropeman in your tree stand hanging process or safety regimen, highly recommended. I do not hunt without one. Whether I'm in a stand for my like safety tether and a saddle, it's almost a necessity. So that's a pretty damn good deal. Free shipping over $100 and a Ropeman with a saddle kit purchase. Check them out, trophyline.com. And Spy Point Trail Cams. Spy Point is getting ready to launch. Let me see if I can get you a direct date. They're getting ready to launch the Flex. And we did a podcast at ATA with Trent about the Flex coming up. And I think it's going to change a lot of perspectives on Spy Point as a company as a whole. But I think it's going to change a lot for trail cameras in general. But the Flex, US, $170. And it basically grabs the closest signal. So it doesn't matter what carrier you have, or if you don't get signal for this in a certain area. We all know how that is. There's pockets where nothing works. But it's supposed to be super reliable, easy to use, and we're pretty damn excited about that Flex coming. I can't wait to get them out. And we're getting ready to get the fleet of trail cams back out. Velvet's coming. So check out spypoint.com and check out the Flex cell cam. It's new and exciting. And if you want all the real details, find our episode, what we did with Spy Point from ATA Show. I think you'll like it. The podcast is also brought to you by Grizzly. We're getting Grizzly on the books for a podcast. They sponsor the CC Hunt Files for the cooler side of things. And we are getting ready to get some box blinds through Grizzly. We are new to the box blind hunting game, and we're setting up some big time plots specifically for box blinds to get comfy. It's funny, the older you get, the more you start thinking about box blinds and being strategic, and taking your kids with. So if you're in the market for a box blind, check out the ones from Grizzly. We do have a code through Grizzly, WCB. So check that out. And Victory Arrows, shooting the RIP TKOs like I have been for years and absolutely loving them, getting them tuned up to go to Africa and then heading right into Wyoming elk. And then right after that, coming back in for whitetails hit home here in Illinois. So thanks to all our partners. Sorry for interrupting. All right, here's Doug with a mobile veteran shout out, and then we're back in the episode. Thanks, guys.
Hey, guys. Doug here with another mobile veteran shout out. This one was submitted by Michael Spiva, and the veteran is David Brammer. So he's a specialist in the Army and the 421st Bridge Crew, Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraq Freedom. He was medically discharged. So he's been hunting for about 8 years and change. So it's a short one, but thank you for your service, David, and thank you for submitting that, Michael.
It's fine.
You did get him some beer cans. We'll talk about that
first.
Those
are pretty cool.
Schmidt beers. Cool.
Have you never heard of them before?
No, I have.
Oh, you have?
My parents have some.
Oh. Well, you got. Hopefully you can one-up them now.
I don't have any, though. No.
Oh.
You got to
do now.
Call your
now.
Bar.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then he got me the movie Rad for the old BMX guys.
Which is rad.
Ooh. Which is super rad. Eric, get in here. Was it meet and greet out there? What the fuck?
You wanted to crank it up. It's
oh. Great. Tell him to give us 20 minutes.
That's awesome. Here we go. So Doug can hold it.
hold it up to that.
Learn.
Hooked on Fahenix.
Hooked on Phonics.
That's Phoenix, like in Arizona?
The yeah. best part is that it's, what's the age gap on it, Doug?
It's pre-K.
It's pre-K level two. Hey. Ages 3 to 4.
Hey, can you pull it out and read us something?
Yeah, why don't you open that up?
No, I really don't. It says learn. It says learn to read.
Read.
It's a tricky one.
Woof.
It's a great gift. Thank you, Chris.
That's really hilarious.
Veteran shout outs just got a little smoother.
Wow.
We'll in about 3 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Give him some time to learn.
I gotta get through the program.
Yeah, yeah. He's still got a couple levels.
How many week program is that?
I don't know. I can't read.
You can't read the box.
Shit, fuck.
You go over to Doug. He's like scrambling. Doug, were you doing Hooked on Phonics? No.
He's got all wrong
I'm
answers.
Down in the bottom.
Is there one before that?
Yeah, there is.
See, I gave you some credit.
How much was that?
$5 or something. Oh. Totally worth it.
No. That is worth it, actually. Eric, what'd you get for gift?
I got a t-shirt that says Tig Life on it.
It is pretty sweet. And then Austin got
bottle of bourbon.
With Ooh. A sweet elk topper pour thing.
Oh. Well, I think, isn't the stag bottle for the studio?
Whatever you guys want.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. We got two bottles of bourbon.
Yeah, I brought another one just from home from a buddy of mine. He really likes it. And so
yeah.
Bought a bottle of Smoke Wagon up too. It's pretty good.
Great gifts, man. Great gift. Okay. Very impressed. So thank you very much.
Yep. Oh, God. Doug's getting into it.
Oh, he is. He's got a starter.
There's
a
DVD.
There's a DVD.
I was going to say, you screwed me.
I was really hoping there was going to be a cassette tape in there.
He's not reading anything. He's just watching the DVD.
He's going to listen to it.
I was just looking at the pictures.
It's an audio book.
Is there a pop-up book?
You know what I love? Doug's going to take that home. It's going to be sitting on his desk.
I probably shouldn't have that out.
Some chick's going to come over.
Some chick's going to come over.
How old's your boy?
Yeah. Hey, do you have kids? Yeah. No, why?
No. Oh, that's for when Clint and his boys come in town. Easton's learning to read.
How old's your boy? He's 3 to 4.
He's in pre-K.
Doug's like, huh? Oh, yeah, that. Yeah.
The only thing I have.
Now, bitch, that's for me. Fucking great.
Could great you read game. Me this?
Do you mind helping me?
Hey,
I'm stuck on this part. Yeah, hey, I mean, they're stuck on this part.
Great gift. Great gift.
I try.
So obviously, heavy. I'm going back to the podcast. That was a great side piece that we went on.
Great side piece?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Okay. I'll stick to that terminology. I like how in tune with your archery shot you are. I find that intriguing. Because I feel like not enough people are, probably, you know?
If I do something, I want to be good at it. And I just have a really hard time being mediocre at it. So I have worked on it, watched videos, talked to a bunch of guys that had help. Whenever I was helping the archery shop, there were some pros in there that were really good. Just, okay, hey, you need to do this. No, that's not right. This is what you got to do. And you work on it enough that, I know now, getting my bow ready for the shoot and everything, I just put a new string on it and just, learning everything over again. Everything feels a little bit different, sight tapes off, but going out there, okay, hey, 20 shots into it. Okay. Yep. Here it is. Now we're back. Now everything's starting to feel good again. And I can tell you every single shot after I make it. Yep. Good shot. Bad shot. I may hit dead freaking center, two shots in a row. And I'm like, well, that first one was good. The second one was absolutely terrible, but it just happened to go to the exact same spot.
Yep.
But
you understand archery. You can tell by just how you're talking, because we all know that. We've all been there. Yep. What being that into it and being that conscious about your archery game and switching strings and just kind of being in tune, what are – name three of your bow hunting goals that you've yet to accomplish.
So I made my wife in our old house, she said that I couldn't mount another deer, or I told her I wasn't going to shoulder mount another deer until I hit the 150 with my bow. That year, I shot one 147 with a broken brow tie, and he would have been easy 150, but wasn't 150, and I'm just dead set on those. So 150 with a bow. We've had quite a few deer around. My dad has shot the biggest deer on the ground that we lease over, I think, the last 2 or 3 years, and they've all been mid 150s.
Mm-hmm.
And so 150 with my bow is definitely it. I keep getting more and more ate up with the Western thing, and so started putting in for points for Colorado, Wyoming, things like that.
Ooh, bad state. Stay out of those.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at New York and
New Jersey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of big bulls there.
Yep.
Delaware. But,
Delaware.
Don't leave Delaware.
Easy.
Secret spot.
Big blacktail.
But elk with my bow, mule deer with my bow, those are the three.
Yeah.
150 plus. My dad, very first deer my dad ever killed was 168-inch 13-pointer. Very first deer he ever killed. And I was, I think, 3 years old or something like that.
That's awesome.
And it's still the biggest deer that we've ever killed, as me and him together.
Yeah.
So, ultimate goal, kill something bigger than his.
Yeah.
But, if I never do, it's one of those things.
So cool. I'm sure you look at that deer as kind of like an iconic type deer between you and your 100%. Old man.
It's been above our stairs from the time I was a kid. And I've got a picture, and I repost it every year, and I try to recreate it with my kids.
Yeah.
I have a picture. I'm holding the deer's antlers and in the back of my dad's truck, and he's sitting there holding it up. And so right after I had my kids, the first buck that I killed, sitting in the back of the truck, they hold the antlers. It was just one of those things that's important. Yeah. I want to try to recreate that every single year.
Absolutely. Stuff that might not seem to you, it's important, but your kids might not think it's a big deal, but when they get a little older, they'll look back and cherish your pictures in a different way than you ever will,
Yeah, 100%.
So I try to do the same. Anything that I shoot, I try to get my kiddos in a picture with it, just because it's kind of neat. But that's cool, man. I know what you're saying. So you probably look at that deer. Do you have a name for the buck or anything like that?
No, just the big one. Like dad's big one.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. I'll get it one of these days, and it's like, God, that deer just...
Does he know so you're big. Gunning for his record?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's feeling it?
Yeah, and he would love... He's the most selfless person I've ever met, and he would love... He would be more excited if I did kill a buck bigger than his than probably I would.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, but...
Freaking cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fun thing to think about, is trying to beat your old man's record or somebody in your family, but it's like they hope you do.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know?
You hope, and you hope that with it... I know you guys talk about it and everything, too. It's just like, I hope your buddies kill a bigger deer than I kill.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing.
Eric.
This year.
Not this year. Any other year, yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when your buddy kills a big buck, you should have every reason to be stoked for them.
For sure.
That's the one thing 100%. I love about our crew is we don't hold any jealousy towards one another. if Doug kills a buck, Eric kills a buck, Clint, Austin, Ross kills a big buck, we are fucking stoked. There's never been like a hidden that's dumb.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid to be that way.
And those moments, you only get a couple of those moments at most every year. Yeah. So like I'll drive, like last year the big one that we were hunting, my dad killed him in early November, and I drove, he shot him, and he calls me, he's like, I think I got a good one, which he says that every single time. Or no, you know, he'll say, yeah, he's pretty good. And I said, well, I'm like, what is pretty good? And he's like, he's pretty big. If he says pretty big, it's a big one.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, we've been watching this deer. I've got 500 pictures of him. I'm obsessing about this deer. And I said, is it this buck? And he's like, I don't know. And I said, well, send me a picture of his rack. Yeah, I said, he's got a brow tine that looks in. And he's like, I think it might be that one. I said, okay. I said, I was already on the road and driving an hour and a half to go help him anyway.
Yeah.
Because I was like.
Which is amazing.
Well, it's one of those things. Like, I'll drop anything for anybody because I don't care. I mean, those moments like that, I love those moments. I love going to find deer, just like you guys talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
I love going to help, you know, buddies out and everything. Like you said, you get that maybe a couple times a year if you're lucky.
Yeah, right.
And so something like that, like me and my buddy Ryan went and helped him drag it out, took pictures and stuff. All three of us got a picture together. And it's like something like that we'll look back on, hopefully, you know, 20, 30 years from now. Like, yeah, remember this one? Yeah. That was awesome. We chased him. Dad was able to get him and everything like that. And that's what's going to stay, you know. Eventually everybody passes on everything, but you have those pictures to look back at. That's an iron memory in my mind.
100%
being right there.
Well, shit, how many deer have we drug out together?
All of them.
That's right.
I mean, there's something special about those type of moments. I mean, Austin's helped me pull out some whitetails. Clint helped me pull out that muley, which was like, by the way, check out Peterson's bow hunting and
next issue.
Yeah, dude, next like issue. That's I mean, it's hard to beat that memory for me. Like, that's cemented into my 100%. Brain of, like, suck and camaraderie and emotion, you know? Like,
yeah.
on
another level that you just can't really explain. But, yeah, it's like, you're right. It's like, the more blood trails you can go on with your buddies, the better. And it doesn't always work out. Like, honestly, the range of hunting properties that we all cover as a crew is fucking massive.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, we're talking 8 hours to 20 something hours for our Western trips there's times where I might be 4 or 5 hours hunting from where Doug and Eric are hunting.
Oh yeah.
And 2 to 3 hours, maybe 3 hours sometimes from where Austin and Ross are hunting. Like, you know, I think probably the perception to a lot of the locals of our crew is that we all hunt right within 10 minutes of our house.
Yeah.
Not true. Like until this last year, I didn't hunt within an hour of my home.
Right.
You know, some things have changed for me in the last 2 weeks that we're going to talk about here in some upcoming podcasts that allow me to hunt closer to my house now. But yeah, I mean, so it's hard for us to always be with each other when someone shoots a deer. Plus you add in politics of, well, it's a permission piece. I can't have anybody else there. Mm-hmm. So I have to just like sweat it out and drag this deer out when I can, or you know what I mean, or whatever it may be. But yeah, the more you can go on and the more you can be with your buddies and help them drag deer out, the better I think the experiences are.
Yep.
Yeah, but, for sure. And it's sad the people that don't, like, it was crazy to me the amount of people that were like, so you and Devin didn't have tags when you went with Kurt? I'm like, no, it was just Kurt. And they're like, what the fuck would you guys go for? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, in my mind,
I want to be there. Yeah,
I'm like, damn, that's a shitty friend.
Yeah.
Like you're a, I mean, I vividly can remember telling a guy on Instagram, I'm like, wow. I'm like, you'd be a fucked up hunting partner. And he'd put a bunch of laughing faces, and I'm like, no, well,
not,
for real.
Not to mention, like, a harder to draw tag.
Yeah, I mean, that's in one of the most sought after units in the West to go hunt.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about the crew we built, because if you ask anyone to go on that hunt with you, I'd be like, Yeah, absolutely.
All of us actively, I think, are building points to draw that unit again. You know what happens? Next person that draws that unit's going to be like, hey, a couple of you guys want to go with to help me glass up deer and pack out and do this? Yeah. The same shit you and Devin did.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, if I'm in that loop, yeah, I'll go again. Yeah. I mean, I'll be a little more prepared, but it's like you only do so much. But the suck is what makes it so memorable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I can't wait to shoot a buck down in that hellhole and then make you pack him out. It's going to be fun.
I owe you one.
And I owe you.
I owe you
one. The greatest part about that was I'm like,
I wouldn't have wanted that to be any easier though.
No. And it was great. We're packing out and Kurt's like, dude, like, I'm so happy that, like, fuck going up this mountain. Get the fuck out. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I'd do it again tomorrow. And he's like, there's not enough money on this mountain right now for me to fucking do this again. And I'm like, $5,000 to go back down up. He goes, nope, not enough. I'm like, what? But now he'd do it for a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Do it for a dollar.
Now yeah. I would, yeah. I would.
Absolutely. Do it. In, like, in that's
the,
what's
in
cool.
the moment, no.
In the moment when my feet were hot and I had hot spots, I get off. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. But I do remember, like, the memory of Clint was legit carving out footpaths for us. I was in the middle. And then we all had the deer on our back in different quarters and sections, you know, and then Devin's behind me. I remember Devin, I've talked about this like three or four times on the podcast, Devin huffing behind me and going, Kurt, this sucks for me too.
Oh, yeah.
No one will ever know how steep this mountain is, no matter how many times you talk about it.
Not until you're there.
He goes, just know this sucks and enjoy it.
Yep. And you're with a fucking mountain goat.
And we're with a mountain goat. But I remember Devin like saying like, this sucks, but enjoy it.
Oh, right. For sure.
And he's right, though. Like, it sucked.
Yeah, you're only going to get so many of those packs in your lifetime, so you better you better drink it up when it's happening.
But in the moment, I wasn't thinking, enjoy this. Like, I was kind of like, I just want to get to the fucking top.
Yeah, I'm just going
to
die.
Just get through this.
Yeah.
I just want to jump back down the hill.
but there's something valuable in that. Like, even when you're huffing out a whitetail, right? And you're that doing sucks. The 1, 2, 3, all right, heave. Yep. Okay, stop. Everyone's breathing, like.
Soak that shit up.
That sucks, but enjoy those moments because they don't happen often.
Yep.
They don't.
Yep.
It's kind of sad a little bit.
Yeah. No, it is. I remember packing that bull out in Utah, and I know I posted the video. I got the whole cape, the head, everything.
It looked like fucking misery is what it looked like. You've seen that video?
100%. And Devin was begging me. He's like, dude, he's like, this is steep as fuck. He's like, just let me take it partway. I said, no, man. I'm like, I want to get to the top and know that from the bottom – 1200 fucking feet of vert straight up. Like, I want to know. Like, I'm like, once you get to the top, then you can take it for a little while. I'm like, because it's 130 pounds. I'm like, it's fucking heavy. Like, I'm not going to sit here.
Yeah, that's a lot, dude.
Bullshit. Like, it's like putting Doug on my back and going up the fucking hill. You know what I mean? Like,
because Doug only weighs $130.
Well, yeah. What the hell? Whatever. He's $145. Whatever the hell he is.
Close enough.
But, you know, and Devin's like, dude, just fucking, it's fine. I'm like, mm-mm. Like, I just want to do, you know what I mean? Like, and I knew once I got up there, I'd be like, I'm happy that you sucked that whole fucking way up. I'm like, this sucks so bad, but you're going to be thankful that you did it. And I was. I was like super pumped that I did not.
Did you hand it off when you get to the top?
Oh, fuck yeah, I did. Fuck yeah. Devin's like, hey, he's like, let me run it out this ridge. I'm like, fuck.
Yep,
I'll
here
take,
you go.
But Devin had 80 pounds. But what sucks carrying out a bull is it's not really the weight. It's the fucking
awkwardness.
It's shit.
Getting hung up on everything.
Oh my god! Like that was sucked. The part that, you know, Jason and Deb. But like that
get
was,
it tied up clean and all that. Yeah.
And like that day, I had Ty and Easton, and I had Wade, and I had Devin and Jason. Like all of, I mean, it was like it sucked. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was twice as hard as what we did on yours because of the weight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Having a fucking bull on my back, but. I mean, I loved it, though, because once I got up there, I'm like, I'm looking down, and I'm like,
holy. Don't happen very often, either.
No, I wish I was going to say, yeah. I'm like,
I wish I had a horse.
Yeah. Oh. Chris, how many blood trails or drags do you think, if you had to put a number on, do you do a year? Just to put this in perspective.
I mean, depends on the year. Last year, I probably went on 4 or 5, but my year last year was just unbelievably lucky and insane. But I mean, on a normal year, I try to go, I mean, I'll go on every single one that I can. I think the year before I probably went on 10.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good amount.
Yeah, it is.
And earlier in the podcast, you mentioned, I'm kind of switching gears a little bit. You mentioned like, you know, Wolfpack outdoors, like you guys do a little bit of everything. And, you do a little bit, you dabble in trapping a little bit.
So this year, Illinois has a bobcat tag program, and they only give out so many tags. So they give out 1,000 tags. And
so how do you go about like applying for a bobcat tag?
So it's on a draw. You put it on the Illinois website, pay your $5 fee, I think it is, and you get it back if I believe.
Can you apply any time for that?
I think it's during a certain draw window.
I gotta apply.
Yeah,
it's easy to miss it. I think I missed it the last year.
Is it open yet?
I don't think it's open yet. I think
when you apply, text me and be like, "Hey, Kurt, apply." Yeah,
I think it opens up.
It's like August or September or something like that.
Because the season opens up in November, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lucky and I drew a tag this year. I had a couple properties that do. I mean, well, occasionally we'll get a picture of a bobcat or anything, and they're getting more and more prevalent around. And I ended up, I talked to a friend of mine who is just a, he's a professional trapper. And I said, hey, I want to try to trap one. I know there's one on this property and everything. A friend of mine got me permission to be on it and everything. He helped me kind of get into it. And he went out there and helped me set some stuff up. And, you know, just like anything else, if you want to learn anything, you look up on Google and YouTube and everything. You probably watch, you know, 100 videos on, you know, this, you could do this and this method or this bait. And, you know, this works really well. And I honestly just got unbelievably lucky. And the cat had actually walked through, like, I think 10 days before I actually caught it.
Leg hold or snare? Or
it was in an actual 550 offset. 550,
yeah, yep. Hell yeah.
And I had, I don't know, 7 traps in this one area, and she had walked through it, I believe, like 7 days beforehand or 8 days beforehand, and I actually had a footprint right next to the trap bed.
Oh,
shit.
And so I missed her by, I mean, literally inches.
Yep.
And
by a foot.
Yeah.
Nice.
But they ended up.
Did you sift?
I wish
over?
I had my buttons ready. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like with bobcats, like in fox. I mean, like I grew up trapping. Yeah. I was like,
they're so finicky.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
I love it. That's a fucking chess game.
Oh
there.
My god.
Trapping.
Yeah. I was addicted to it. My wife hated it because every night after work, I was going straight out there.
Your wife clearly does not suck if she's letting you.
My wife is a saint. For some reason, she puts up with me.
Bless her heart if you're listening.
But yeah, they ended up. The cat came by, and then she ended up coming back by, and I had a video cell cam on it, and I got one picture. We were sitting downstairs with my in-laws at my house, and I got a picture, and then another and another and another and another. Uh-oh. And I was like, what the hell? And I look at it and I said, it's pretty good size. I said, I wonder what the hell that is. And I finally saw that little stubby tail and I lost it. And
nice.
My in-laws were like, what the hell just happened? And he's like, I think he just caught a bobcat. And I called my buddy that got me on that helped me get on the property. And I said, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm drinking a beer. No, you're not. I'm coming over. I got a bobcat in the trap right now. And he's like, okay. We go out there and I called my friend that's a professional trapper. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I got a bobcat in the trap. Chill out. And I said, I can't. Like, I've got to go out there now. I don't want to lose this thing. I said, I can't believe
front leg, back leg? What'd you
front
have?
Leg.
Front leg, no shit.
And I ended up
nice.
We got out there and my friend was holding the light and I was leaning against this tree and didn't realize it until afterwards it was black locust. And he's like, dude, you were right there by the locust thorns. I thought you were getting stabbed in the eye or something. And she was jumping around and I finally walked up to her and dispatched her and everything, and I was like, holy crap. Sent my buddy a picture that's the pro trapper, and he's like, I told some guys that you were trapping. There's like, there's no way in hell he's gonna catch one. And I said, well, I ended up getting it done.
Yeah.
And just unbelievably lucky. There was in the county that I live in that I trapped in, there was only 2 bobcats taken in the county.
Oh shit.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you drew the tag. When do you find out you draw the tag?
I think you find out in like September or October that you actually draw the tag.
So if you don't draw the tag and you catch a bobcat, you got to let it go.
Yep. Yep.
Holy hell, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And I was not looking forward to that. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have trapped.
Especially in a foot trap.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And they say it's no big deal. My buddy, he's trapped like wolves up in like the North Woods and everything like that. And I mean, they would just go and let them go and everything. And I'm like, there's no freaking
how.
Way.
I mean, I've
plywood.
I've caught some big tomcats, yeah. Big tomcats before.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? Set up plywood so they don't get you and let the trap loose or something?
My dad and grandpa were, like, trapped my whole life, so I grew up trapping, and they had, I mean, they called it the fucking cat stick.
Yeah.
Big old fucking wide out. You know what I mean? And you'd pin it down.
Yep.
Back of the neck, and I mean, you're damn near suffocating. But
oh, you like pin it down.
Pin it down, then hurry up and get the
by yourself,
off
though.
The yeah. Cat stick. That's
you got,
funny.
If you got somebody with you, you're good mm-hmm. because somebody can run the cat stick, and then the other guy, you're by yourself. You got to use your foot. I mean, it's a fucking, it's clusterfuck, but I mean, it's all you got. You know?
I need to really apply for that tag because one of the properties I hunt, and I've never seen a bobcat until 3 years ago. Now I see them every year.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a monster on a piece I'm hunting.
And my dad and I both actually drew it. This is the first year that he actually applied for it. Him and I both drew the tag. And there was one on some ground that we hunt. We had, like, I think 2 or 3 pictures of it. Never saw, of course, the year before, Dad had it walk in front of him, I think, 4 or 5 times within bow range because he wanted to get one with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have taken one with a bow if I could have got, you know, a shot at it or seen one. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things, like, he ended up not being able to get one, not being able to fill it. And so if you draw it in Illinois, too, so this next year I can't apply. So if you draw the tag, then you got to wait a year before you can apply again. Yeah.
No kidding. I could have shot one last year at 20 yards on the ground in a ground blind. And I saw its head was like basking in the sun. I'm like, oh my God, there's a coyote right here. And I'm like looking, I'm like, that's a bobcat. So I just got, I just got out my phone and I'm filming it. And I'm like, holy shit, that's a big cat.
Yep.
So 20 yards, could have shot it. Couldn't believe it. Then the other day, it was random. We were in my Ranger, me, Ross, and Isla May, my daughter, sitting in the middle. And we come around this bend. We're just on one of the pieces. I was wanting to show Ross some things because he's doing some land work for the guy who owns the ground. And we were just cruising this piece. And we come around the bend. My daughter goes, Dad, look. Like, she's young. She don't know what she's seeing. And Ross goes, oh, look, a coyote. And he goes, that's a bobcat. And so I take off in the Ranger and we get up. It bounces into the woods, bounces back out 20 yards, looks back at us, and then dives right in. And I'm like, I mean, you just saw a freaking unicorn. That does not happen. Yeah, like,
they're so cool, too.
They are amazing.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
They're just cool all around.
Because we took it home, or I took it home, and it was real cold that night.
What do your in-laws think?
My wife does not come from any type of hunting or anything. My father-in-law used to fish a lot, but they, I don't know, they guess they humor me and everything, and they wanted to see the cat and everything whenever I brought it home, so I brought it home, laid it on the garage floor for the night so the kids could see it the next morning and everything. They wanted to come up and pet it and everything. But they looked at it, they're like, well, that is pretty neat. And I think it's more of a humoring thing, and they like to see that and everything. But
yeah, that's cool, though.
Yeah, yep.
Hey, you're into something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. That's cool, man.
Could be a lot of the worst things.
So. And you got a badass mount of it and stuff.
Yep. Yep. Lady down by the Ozarks, actually, she's the one that mounted it for me. I searched all over. I saw a lot of bad bobcat mounts, and I was like, if I'm going to spend money on this one time, I'm just going to spend the money on somebody that does it really good. And she does a handmade form. Wrapped and everything, and it's just unbelievable.
Cats are hard.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
predators in general.
Bad mountain lions, everything. Bobcats are probably the two worst. The
bears
face,
too.
Faces, yep. And then bears would probably be the next one.
Predators, man, they get that look in their eye.
Yep.
But I saw that girl that you showed me her Instagram. She does a lot of pets, and that's risky because everybody knows their pet.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Imagine if your dog died, you wouldn't get mounted. If it didn't look like your dog, know it.
That ain't my dog.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That ain't mine.
That ain't my dog.
You want to hear a nightmare story? Real quick, I'll tell it very fast. If you want to hear a pet taxidermy nightmare story, the first taxidermist I might have told this back in the day. But
I know you've told this before. I don't know if it's been on a podcast or not, but
the first taxidermist that we ever went to locally in our area, I asked him because I wanted to go to taxidermy school. And at the time, I was pretty young. I was like, do you do pets and stuff? Like, just curious, you know, like not because I wanted to do them. I was just wondering if he ever did them. He goes, you know, I used to because it's really good money.
Yeah.
He goes, because people are like, they're willing to just spend the money because it's like a passion thing. They're grieving and whatever. They just spend the money. And he goes, what happened was, he goes, these people dropped off this dog, and I was telling them, are you sure you want to do this? Because this is the process. I have to skin out the dog, yada, yada, yada. We want to do it. They leave. First thing he does, starts skinning it out. Well, they turn around, change their mind, walk in on him skinning their dog in the front room of his taxidermy shop, and just come unglued.
Yeah.
He goes, I will never touch any type of pet taxidermy ever again.
I don't know. But like, to be honest with you, I would never have my pet.
What the fuck are you going to do with this?
But I don't even know anyone that has a pet taxidermy.
I don't either. No.
Oh, I do.
It's like a weird old person thing.
I have a buddy at home. His wife got their cat mounted.
Yeah, well, she's a fucking nuts, guaranteed.
I'm going to get my dog made into one of those like floppy pillows so I can still bring him in bed with me and cuddle with him.
You just lost a listener, Kurt, because she listens. I'm not going to say her name on here, but she's a listener.
Tighten up, girl. You know what I'm saying.
No, you know what's crazy? You know what she said?
What?
She wanted it mounted. It's kind of fucked up. She's like, I want my pussy to look at me all the time. I mean, that's pretty funny. I mean,
Yeah, man, but come on.
Just, I thought it was ballsy.
Just turn your pet into leather.
Cat. She put it up on her mantle. Like, it's like, it looks like a bobcat or a, like a lion mount.
Yeah.
It's like leaning over the edge. You know who's got a fucked up taxidermy story? And he's probably never told it. And I should have had him do it because I just did a podcast with him. Joe.
The hide, the mule deer whitetail?
Oh, my God. I mean, he called me.
I got enraged. We need to probably save that for him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll save that one.
Here's all I'm going to say. It is a fucked up story. He called me when he found out. Like, I was on the road going on a trip somewhere. And he's like, I need to vent. I need to cut loose. I want someone to listen. I don't want you to say a word. I'm like, damn.
You called the wrong guy.
Yeah. I was scared. I'm like,
what did you
Jesus.
Do?
I'm
what
like,
did you do?
You getting divorced? Or what? I was scared. Like, I'm like, oh, fuck.
If I'm thinking of the right story, imagine shooting a buck.
No, this you're on it. Yeah, you're the right.
Okay. And then getting it back and it not being the same species.
Not
of,
the same species. Oh, and that's God. All I'm going to say. That's all I'm going
to
say.
It's a story for Joe to tell.
And
Joe
mind
only.
You, Joe's, I mean, Joe's Joe, you know, he's hard. I mean, even when he's in a bad mood, which is hardly ever, it's usually not that bad. He is, I should have recorded it.
I would have fucking shot somebody.
He's like ready to fucking kill.
Imagine
everybody.
Shooting an elk and you get it back and there's a caribou hide on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and we're going to leave it at that
state
because
of confusion when I shot.
Right. Wait a minute. What did I do again?
Yeah.
I wish I would have thought of this because I mean, he'll tell it great. Like, I mean, it was.
We'll have to bring that out next time he's on.
Yeah. I'll never forget him calling me and being like, I just need someone to listen because I'm ready to fucking kill the world. And I'm like, ooh, go ahead.
I'm your guy.
I'll listen.
But yeah, that was a good analogy. Imagine shooting a big bull and it comes back as a big caribou bull, not a big elk.
Yeah. What's your wife think of the mount and stuff?
She loves it. Good. She was, whenever I took it down there, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And the lady put the fence post that I caught the cat right next to, like right on,
oh, dude,
right with a mount
ass.
And everything. And it's just,
that's
I mean,
cool.
Amazing. And, when I got it home, she was kind of looking at it. She's like, it's big. And I'm like, yeah, it's big. But I said, we're going to put it over here. We have this one wall in our house. I said, it doesn't have anything on it. I said, it's perfect. We'll just put it up here. And I hung it up and she's like, I don't know. And then the other day she texts me, she's like, that bobcat's really cool.
She's like, reluctantly cool. Supportive.
Yeah.
And my boy, he keeps looking at it. He's like, oh, look at daddy's bobcat he got. And he was actually, she texted me earlier. She's like, yeah, he was telling the cat today, Leo, our cat.
Leo.
He's like, yeah, our cat's named Leo. He's like, Leo, did you see the bobcat that daddy brought home?
Leo's like, yeah, I see it.
Leo's not impressed.
Yeah, he's my cousin.
Yeah.
That dead cat gets more attention than I do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's cool, man.
Yeah,
your really family's cool. Into it and stuff.
I want to see a picture of that mount because those are
absolutely. Got a ton of them.
A buddy of mine he trapped a really big male.
Yeah,
and he's got it to where he's lifting up his it's like the front left. He's in the trap. Oh, that looks cool as shit.
Let me see it again.
Yeah, that's badass. Yeah.
I didn't see it yet.
He did like this custom form where the bobcat's lunging back. He just got caught and he's lifting the trap up and he's got, dude, it's fucking
insane.
Cool. And I'm like, if I would ever in Ohio, chances are I'm not, I mean, I see
that is cool,
but like chances are I'm probably never get to trap one there. Right. But if I ever did, I would, I mean, and
can you shoot a bobcat in Iowa?
Yeah.
In Iowa?
Yeah, but it's, so you just need a fur bearer's tag, but per county, like some counties you can't shoot them.
You know,
like Scott County?
Oh, it's not statewide for you guys?
No,
you get
Scott,
a landowner's
just statewide here in Illinois?
Landowners.
I don't think you can do a Cook County, I want to say.
You can shoot.
It actually may
I can't,
be
Scott.
Maybe after,
hold on, we got two conversations going on in one podcast.
Sorry.
What is it, November?
Fuck, that's pretty.
5th or something.
You got to wait till November 5th, and then you can shoot them.
So, somewhere in there.
Interesting. Yeah, it's weird.
See, I'm like a bobcat, but mine's a, I saw a badger last year on my property. So
That'd be wild.
And that was the first time I ever seen a badger, so I'm like,
here's the thing. You kill that bat. Can you kill it?
Yeah, but it's the same thing. You got to wait till like November or something.
You shoot that badger for a full year, full mount, centerpiece on the studio table.
Dude, badgers are awesome.
They're so cool looking.
And they're like super rare in our area too. So I'm like, when I seen it, I thought it was a skunk almost because they kind of have that white tint on top, you know? But he was just walking real weird like a bulldog. And I'm like, is it a skunk or not? And I'm like,
the fuck is that?
And it's way past shooting hours, you know, but I see him coming across and that's a fucking badger.
What the hell?
And then he ends up 5 feet from my tree and I'm like, And then he walks out where I got to walk. I'm like, God damn it. I'm going to have to
fight a badger.
Walk past this thing.
The badger's going to have to fucking catch his hands.
I think like porcupines and badgers and shit, like, they're just cool. Like, porcupines are... They're
Doug could have had a porcupine.
They're wild.
Porcupines are mean.
There's one in my bait barrel.
I was pissing around with one all up at the camp, my bear camp. I was pissing around with one in Utah. It was like middle of the day. I'm elk hunting.
Just bored.
I'm going to go mess with this thing.
Yeah, bored. Nothing going on. He just
comes. they'll chew through leather saddles and shit.
Oh, yeah. He just comes bebopping along, and I'm like, man, this thing's docile. Like, it doesn't give a fuck. It'll just ball up. And I'm like, I just want to see, like, you know.
Sonic.
So I take an arrow out. Sonic. I got one of my, like, small game heads on one of my arrows, and I'm just, like, fucking around, like, you know, like, dude.
What, are you just sitting there with you?
Well, I'm just, like, pissing her out with it, you know, and it's all balled up. Like, it's just like, hey, dude, leave me alone. Like, you know, I'm kind of showing my quills. Giving you a thing. And I'm like, yeah, this thing's like, you know, it's not going to fucking do anything. Like, whatever. I go to leave, and it had, like, gotten tired, I guess, of me fucking with it. And, like, they'll hiss. They, like, make this, like, weird. I heard something. I turn around, and it's, like, fucking standing up, and it's, like, and making this weird. And I'm like, you little motherfucker. Like, I'm like, like, you weren't doing anything. I go to walk away, and now you want to be a hard ass. I'm like, okay, badass. Yeah. I'm like, all right, badass. Here we go. Like, I'm walking away, and he's like, fuck you. Like, I'm
going to show
weird.
You now.
Because, like, their bellies and everything. Like, you know, I didn't get to actually see it until then, which I'm glad he did what he did, because, like, underneath it's like a – looks like a silk patch. Like, it's weird. Like, you know, you see all the quills, and, like, they're just rough as hell looking, but, like, up underneath – But, like, spot. When predators kill them, that's what they have to go for.
The soft spot.
And it's so, it, oh, they say it's soft like a pillow. Hmm. I didn't really go up and
try it. It's a loincloth.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. They're pretty big. I mean, like, and I was telling... I was telling Devin about it, and Devin's like, dude, he's like, they can
I'm talking about
really aggressive and get, like, mean, you know? Poor and I'm like,
coupon.
So I probably shouldn't have been, like, fucking with it. He's like, no. He's like, I mean, like, they can get, like, pissed off quick. I'm like, he, like, hissed, but that was it, you know? Like, didn't really, like, do anything else. And here I am over there, hey, buddy, what are you doing?
Do something.
Yeah, smoke with a stick, see what happens.
Do something cool.
Yeah, do something cool.
He runs over and bites my ankle off like a... I die on the mountain from a porcupine.
Yeah, attack. Porcupine.
I bleed out.
Let's find a bite mark and some quills on me.
Jason and Devin come find me 3 days later, and there I am chewed to death from fucking porcupine.
Was that on Family Feud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pork. Coupine.
Porcupine. I know I've heard that before, but I didn't know where it comes
from. Like, are you pulling up the clip?
I'm trying to find it.
Pork. It's from like a Family Feud when they're like a pork and then blank.
Yeah.
And so it's like pork and the guy's like, coupine.
Have you guys heard that?
I just saw it the other day on TikTok or something.
Funnier than shit.
Pork values have doubled. Here we go. Top six answers are on the board. Name something that follows the word pork.
Loin.
Pork lion.
Loin.
Loin.
I know.
Loin.
The hell is a pork loin? I thought you said lawn like the grass outside. I was going, what the hell is a pork loin? Loin!
So how long is this video?
It's a nice guy, thank you.
Dude.
Better be good. Big build up here.
It's pretty fucking funny.
It is good.
It's probably not that funny.
Oh, Lord.
Bam. Name something that follows the word pork. You pie.
He had time to think about it, too.
Right now, everyone's like, we're fucking turning this episode off.
You pine.
You pine.
He said it with such confidence, too.
That's great. That guy's really regretting that. That's what you get into when you come into the working class.
We should go on that show. Oh, God, that'd be a freaking Family Feud, the podcast.
That'd be hilarious.
WCB Family Feud.
It would never air. It'd never make it.
No, that's a good point.
Well, Chris, thank you for coming in, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anything you want to shout out? Anyone? Where can people find you? Anything like that?
We've got a Instagram page, Wolfpack Outdoors. I think mine's Chris J something. I post basically all the stuff on that page, and my page is basically just, you know, family stuff and everything like that. But
cool, man.
Yeah, that's basically where we have anything that we post and stuff like that. So
cool. Well, I enjoyed the conversation. I think everybody did here. It was fun.
Appreciate it.
I think there's a lot to get into with you, man. Like, I think you're a little more in depth when it comes to podcasting. You're a great guest for that. So
appreciate it.
I hope you'll come back and chat with us, and we're glad to have you back. We'll have you work on the studio first.
Hey. Put me to work.
Thanks for that.
Tall enough.
I can't sit here.
He's tall enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tall. Yeah. That big benefit. Putting in a new sound system. I hear the sound system getting started up out there.
It was beating a little bit ago.
Anybody want to add anything?
Nope.
Fun podcast. A lot to think about on this one.
Yeah.
Yep.
A little more into the archery game than I thought we'd get, but that's fun.
Sad I missed the. I wish I'd have been for. I like that.
Show up sooner next time.
I know. Fuck. It was only a 9-hour drive. I should have got my lazy ass.
Should have left earlier.
Should have got work done earlier. And
milking cows.
Speed, put people's lives at danger, you know, get here quicker.
I cut 52 minutes off.
52?
It's always a contest.
That's impressive.
That's good. That's really good.
I'm not going to lie, I was going 80 and a lot of 55s because I was just like, I am so tired of driving.
You just got to go sometimes.
Sometimes you just got to go.
Pretend like it's the West.
As the Lord would say, and I quote this from our text messages, fucking hammer down.
Hammer down.
Hammer down.
Give her the beans.
Lead foot.
Anybody want anything? Nope. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you guys. Thanks for being here.